This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Okay, we'll inshallah carrying on with the apostasy and the claim of Nabuwa of Aswad al-Ansi. Now there's a very interesting story which takes place when Aswad al-Ansi claimed prophethood. Aswad was very ruthless. Whoever didn't follow his deen, he would butcher them. So there's a story about a very pious individual called Muslim al-Hawlani. Muslim al-Hawlani was known and renowned for his piety. So he remained firm on the deen. So Aswad wanted to show the people that if you remain on your deen and you don't follow his deen, you know, this is what he will do with you. So he wanted to set this example. So what he did is that he gathered a large amount of wood, and then he gathered the people, and he wanted to burn Muslim al-Hawlani in front of everybody, so people will take heed that if you don't follow the religion of Aswad, this is what will happen to you. So this is what he does. So the fire is lit, Muslim al-Hawlani is thrown into the fire, but subhanallah, Allah is the one who does all things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the fire to be cool upon Muslim until his advisors became so perturbed, because people were seeing this and people were turning away from his religion. So they became so perturbed, they went to him and they said, take this guy out of the fire, you leave him here any longer, you know, the entirety of Yemen will see this, and they will go back to the religion of Islam. So what they do is that they take him out of the fire and they release him. So he goes now to Medina. By this time, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away. So he goes into the masjid, and one of the first people that he sees is Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. And Umar asks him about the situation about in Yemen. He says to him, do you have any news on our brother Muslim al-Hawlani? Because they had heard about his story. So he says, yes, I am Muslim. So Umar now takes him to Abu Bakr, who now was the Khalif, and he introduces him to him. And then after this, Umar radiallahu anhu says, all praise be to Allah who kept me alive to see the man who has fulfilled the sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Meaning like Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was thrown into the fire, and there were the most comfortable days in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Similarly with Muslim al-Hawlani, same thing. Muslim al-Hawlani remains in the fire, and it is time of tranquility for him. Time of tranquility, subhanAllah. Now, the Muslims were in two minds. A group of Muslims wanted to fight, and another group of Muslims thought it would be better that they take it easy, because they had people inside the palace and they tried to assassinate him. Meanwhile, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told about the rebellion of Aswad. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent a sahabi radiallahu anhu called Qais bin Hubayrah, and his duty was to quash the revolt. So he goes there and he meets Fayruz. Fayruz ad-Daylami was from the Abna. Abna are a group of people whose fathers were Persian but their mothers were Arabs. Bazan was also from these people, and they were the ruling elite of Yemen. So he meets Fayruz. Now Fayruz is still in the palace. He's won the confidence of Aswad, but in reality he's a believer. So what he does is now Fayruz goes to Qais bin Makshu. Qais bin Makshu is one of the leaders of the army. Now he had apostated, joined the army of Aswad, but now he's having second thoughts for one reason or the other. He's not happy with Aswad. So Fayruz speaks to him. So Qais decides, okay, that's fine, we will rebel. Secretly, we will plan. Now, as mentioned earlier on, Aswad was a magician. They say he had these amazing powers. He had, you know, through his magic, he would find certain things out. So he calls Qais, who is in charge of his army, one of the generals, and he says, I heard that you have been conniving. Allah has revealed to me through revelation that you've been conniving against me, and I am going to kill you as a consequence. So Qais is now a powerful leader. So Qais asks him for forgiveness, and Aswad doesn't really want to kill him because Qais has a big following as well. So he says, look, I repent to you and I come back on your religion. So Aswad says, Allah has now revealed to me that your tawbah is accepted. Okay. Again, Firouz goes back to him and they begin to discuss. Again, Aswad calls him and he says, I heard that you're conniving against me and I am gonna kill you. And again, he seeks forgiveness. Now, meanwhile, Firouz goes to Azad. If you remember, Azad was the wife of Shahr, who was the governor of Sana. And Firouz is the cousin of Azad. So he goes to her, he said, listen, we want to topple this person. He killed your husband. So she said, what do you want from me? They say, look, what we want from you is that you help us to rid Sana of this individual. He said, that's not good enough for me. He said, this man killed my husband. He forcefully married me and he made us change our religion. I want him killed. So that's what they agree on, that they will assassinate him. So again, now what they do is that they have a meeting. Now this time, Aswad called Firouz. And in front of Firouz, he butchers these camels, but violently butchers them. And he says to Firouz, I've heard that you are conniving against me, and I will butcher you like I am butchering these camels. So Firouz says, we connive against you. You are beloved. You are our prophet. We have given you preference over ourselves. We married you to Azad. Azad was obviously from the ruling elite. She was his cousin. So he said, okay, that's fine. Later on, Qais and Firouz hear that he wants to kill both of them. So Aswad has planned to kill both of them. So he rushes now to Azad and he says, look, we need to finish this man off quickly because he's plotting to kill both of us. She says, look, to enter his palace is impossible. He has guards on every single door. She says, the only way I see possible for you to kill this man is that you will have to scale the walls of the palace. So what happens is that they wait at the bottom now of the palace and they're waiting for her to give the signal. Now Aswad is drunk that night and he goes to sleep drunk, and whilst he's in heavy sleep, then Azad gives the signal to them to come up. So four of them scale the wall, they go into the palace, and two of them jump onto the chest of Aswad, and then the rest try to strike him. But Aswad was very strong, he's a very strong individual. But they manage to subdue him, he shouts, they put a cloth in his mouth, and eventually they manage to kill him. But whilst they're killing him, when he shouts, the guards hear it. So the guards come rushing to the door. They knock on the door. So Azad goes and opens it. She says, shh. The Rahman of Yemen is having revelation descending upon him. That's why he's screaming, because revelation is very difficult and very heavy. So they go back and they finish Aswad al-Ansi. And then in the morning, from the palace of Aswad. See, Aswad, although he regarded the Prophet ﷺ as a true prophet, he changed the adhan he took out the word Muhammad and he put his name in. So come the morning, Fajr time, from the palace, the adhan is given, but with Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. So everybody rushes. And then they come out and they say, and they make an announcement from the window that the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is dominant again. And if you have any doubt, they throw the head of Aswad Ansi out. Now, subhanAllah, where is the message of Allah? The message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is in Medina. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he has been killed. So Allah so the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, Aswad al-Ansi was killed last night. The man who killed him is a blessed man and he comes from a blessed family, Fayruz. And in another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Fayruz is successful. Fayruz is has attained success. Subhanallah. This is Fayruz. Look at this. In the time of Umar ibn Khattab, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has passed away, Abu Bakr has passed away. Fayruz was a prince, but Umar was Umar. Umar heard that Fayruz was indulging in, you know, the luxuries of the dunya. And because he was a man of prominence, and Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu was very harsh on people who had leadership, he sent him a letter to Yemen and he said, come to me, I heard you indulging in the luxuries of the dunya. So now Fayruz comes to Medina, he's waiting at the door of Amir al-Mu'mineen, and there's a young Qurshi boy, young man. And this Qurshi young man, he pushes past Fayruz to get in before he does. So Fayruz was a prince, he's a leader, he gets upset, so he slaps him and he wounds his nose. So this young man now enters to Umar ibn Khattab and he says, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Fayruz, this guy outside, he just struck me and he hit me. So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu tells him to come in. Fayruz comes in and he says, Fayruz, what's this? He says, Amir al-Mu'mineen, you called me, you didn't call him. You gave me permission to come in, you didn't give him permission to come in. He pushed past me and I did to him what I did. So Umar ibn Khattab said, if that's the case then, O Fayruz, doesn't matter if I called you and I didn't call him. You struck him and nothing justifies you striking him, so there will be retribution. So Fayruz, he's a prince. Says Amir al-Mu'mineen, is there no other way besides this? Umar says, there's no other way besides this. No other way. So Fayruz now sits on his knees and this young man is just about to strike Fayruz. And Umar ibn Khattab turns to the young man and says, let me tell you one thing, young man, before you strike this man. I heard the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that last night Aswad al-Ansi was killed. And the man who killed him was a Mubarak person and he comes from a Mubarak household. And that man was no other than the man that you are about to strike now. He said, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he said, the message of Allah said this about this man? He said, yes. He said, if the messenger of Allah said this about this man, then there's no way I can strike him. There's no way I can strike this man. So he said, I forgive him. So Fayruz took his sword, he gave it to the young man. He said, my mount outside, you keep my mount outside. And also I will give you 30,000 dirhams. 30,000 dirhams. So shortly after Fayruz killed Aswad, and then you have the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, now he appoints Fayruz in charge as the governor of Sana'a, the governor of Yemen. As for Qais bin Makshu, he gets no position. Why he gets no position? Because he had apostated. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had this policy that anybody who apostates, he will get no position at all. And nor will he even be allowed to join the army which fights the other Murtadeen. Now for Qais bin Makshu, This was a slap. Why? Because not only was he a general, but also he was a prominent person in his tribe. So he takes this to heart. So now he plots and plans against who? Pharaoh's. So what he does, he manages to take Thana. So he takes Thana and he drives him out. He drives Pharaoh's out. And one of the cards that he uses is the racist card. What the racist card? I'm Arab. We're all Arabs. This man is from the Abna. Who were the Abna? The Abna were people whose fathers were Persian but mothers were Arabs. So Badan, who embraced Islam, his father was a Persian but his mother was Arab. So he used, he said, look, these are not pure Arabs. So he manages to rally up a large enough number of people and they drive them out of Thana. Now, Pharaoh now manages to get some shelter and security from a group of Arabs. So now Qais sends a letter to them. He said, why are you giving this man shelter? He's from the Abna. He's not original Arab. So they remain neutral. They don't really get involved. They say, okay, it's between you two. We have nothing to do with this. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu hears this. Now the Muslim army is already overstretched big time because of all the other people become murtad. So what does he do? He writes a letter to all those tribes which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wrote to when Aswad al-Ansi claimed that he was a prophet. And many of them came to assist the Muslims. So he does exactly the same thing. And alhamdulillah, a large number of them come and they assist Pharaoh and the believers, and they manage to drive out Qais. Now Qais bin Makhshur, now he goes to a man, assistance of a man who was also Prince Amr bin Madikur Rabb, very prominent warrior. Inshallah, we will come back to this. Now, let's go to the maps. So this issue of Aswad al-Ansi took place in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was killed in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had made this firm intention that he's going to fight everybody who apostates, everybody who is changing their deen slightly, anybody who is not ready to give their zakat. Even if they're ready to pay their zakat, but they're not ready to pay to Medina, he's going to fight them. Okay, so he sends a group of mujahideen. The first person is Khalid bin Sa'id. He was one of the earliest Muslims. A bit of background regarding Khalid bin Sa'id. He was one of the earliest Muslims. Some say fifth or sixth person to embrace Islam. How does he embrace Islam? He sees a dream. And in that dream, he sees that he's standing by some fire. And his father is just about to push him into the fire. And the Messenger of Allah grabs him and saves him from the fire. Now this is very interesting. Why? Because see, if you look throughout the theme of the Quran, the mushrikeen would say things like, you know, this is what we found our forefathers on. This is what our fathers are on. Literally every Nabi, when they go to a group of people, what do they say? This is what we found our forefathers upon. Because parents often take a person from the haqq. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every child is born on a innate nature, a fitrah. And then it's the parents. Make him a Jew, make him a Christian, make him a Zoroastrian, make him a Hindu, make him a Christian, make him an atheist. That's what they have an impact. So he sees this dream that he's about to be pushed by his father into the fire of Jahannam. And who's his savior? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he goes to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and he asks Abu Bakr for the interpretation of this. And Abu Bakr gives him the interpretation of this and he embraces Islam. He was one of those who migrated to Abyssinia. And one of his daughters were born there. So if you look at the map, he goes north. Why? Because the vast majority of the south actually remained, the south of Jazeera actually remained upon the deen. So he goes to the tribe of Qudha and others. Qadha' and others who had apostated. So Makkah, Medina, Ta'if, that area was generally on the deen. So past that area, the Bedouins had rebelled. So he was sent to those group of people. The second was Amr ibn As, radiallahu anhu. And he is sent to Dawmatul Jandal. Now what is Dawmatul Jandal? Dawmatul Jandal was a place which was actually taken in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who did the Messenger of Allah send? He sent Khalid bin Walid. The leader of Dawmatul Jandal was a man called Uqaydir. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Khalid, he said, when you go there, you will see that this wild animal will come and it will rub his horns on the palace, and Uqaydir will come out to hunt it, because Uqaydir loved to hunt. So the Messenger of Allah tells Khalid, this is exactly what you will see. And exactly sitting there in ambush at night time, and what do they see? They see this animal coming. And it starts rubbing his horns against the gate. So Uqaydir sees this, you know, this is subhanAllah. This is like, yeah, exactly what he was looking for. So Uqaydir comes to hunt it, and he is captured by Khalid bin Walid. His brother's killed and he's captured. So he comes to Medina and he's wearing these amazing clothes, this amazing robe, you know, because he was a king. And the people of Medina come out to see him. He also sent a cloth for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it was beautiful cloth, really soft. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam began to touch it, and the Sahaba saw how soft it is. They were amazed at it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said, the handkerchief of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh in Jannah is softer than this cloth. The handkerchief, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, because he had passed away, radiallahu anhu, is softer than this cloth. So what he did is that he apostated. In the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he apostated. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, Amr ibn As. Now let me give you a bit of background of who Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu. Amr ibn As was one of the most intelligent of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. He was one of the think tanks of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. His kunniya was Abu Muhammad and Abu Abdullah. Exceptionally articulate. You know, when the Muslims migrated to Abyssinia, who did they send to Najashi to convince him? It was Amr ibn As. He had a very good relationship with Najashi, but he was very, very articulate. He could convince people. So they sent him. But subhanAllah, the power of the Quran, when Ja'far ibn Abi Talib recited the Quran, and Amr ibn As is sitting there and he's trying to convince him, no, these people insult your religion, they insult Christianity. And Ja'far ibn Abi Talib stands up and he recites the Quran. And Najashi begins to cry when he hears the recitation of the Quran. And he hears how the Quran speaks about Isa and Maryam alayhim salatu salam. And then he picks up a straw. He picks up these two straws and he says, the difference between our religion and what they hold is the difference between these two straws, meaning nothing. Umar ibn Khattab would say regarding Amr ibn As, because he's very articulate. Umar would see a person who was inarticulate. You know, Messenger of Allah was the most articulate of people. Abu Bakr was known to be articulate. Umar was known to be articulate. But Amr ibn As, Umar, when he would see somebody who's inarticulate, he would say, subhanAllah, Allah created you and Allah created Amr ibn As. Meaning Allah created both of you, but look at the difference. And this is why for believers to be people who can express themselves, who have communication skills, you know, express themselves well, you know, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very important, especially for people who are involved in da'wah, that you can relate to people. Because the vast majority of our time is communicating with people. Either you're teaching, either you're advising. And therefore, for believers, it's a sunnah. When did he embrace Islam? He embraced Islam on the same day Khalid bin Walid embraced Islam. You know what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said when they embraced Islam? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he saw Khalid and we saw Umar ibn As, both of them embracing Islam, he said, "Today Makkah has thrown away its liver." Meaning these are the cream of the crop. You don't get better than these two. Makkah has lost its liver today because these two people had embraced Islam. He mentioned his own Islam. He said, "When I started thinking about Islam, my hate for the Muslims decreased." And the rest of the mushrikeen saw this. See, he's not, you know, normally he was at the forefront in his hate. He was the spokesman. So they said, they sent a group of youngsters to him to see what was happening. So he said, I said to the youngsters, I said, "Who's on the truth? Us, the Romans or the Persians?" They said, "Us, obviously, us the mushrikeen, we're on the truth." He said, "Who has Allah given more materialistic prosperity? Who has Allah given more dunya to? Us or the Persians or the Romans?" He said, "The Persians or the Romans, obviously. They're an advanced society, you know, they have a lot of dunya." Now, many of the mushrikeen actually believed in no hereafter. That's why they would say to the Messenger of Allah, "You telling us that when we will become bones, Allah will resurrect us again?" So he said to them, "So you are saying that we are more virtuous than the Romans and the Persians, but in the dunya, they are more, Allah has given them far more than he has given us." Because he began to think, at least Muhammad believes in a hereafter, where Muhammad believes that a good person will be rewarded for his good and an evil person will be rewarded for his evil. According to many of the mushrikeen, belief wasn't the case. So you are losers in the dunya and you only have the dunya. So that was his rationale. So he eventually embraced Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam always kept Amr ibn As very close to him. You know why? Because Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu was exceptionally intelligent. He asked, when he embraced Islam, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make dua for him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Amr," he said, "don't you know that Islam erases everything which came before it? You know, Allah make dua." He said, "O Messenger of Allah, make dua that Allah forgives me." He said, "Islam erases everything which comes before it." The Messenger of Allah made him the leader, the governor of Oman. And the Messenger of Allah passed away, he was the governor of Oman. A great warrior, Fatih. He took Palestine, Syria, Egypt. Just imagine, subhanAllah, all these places were conquered by Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu. Umar would say regarding his virtue, you know, subhanAllah, Umar would say regarding his virtue, he would say that Abu Abdullah, which was referring to Amr ibn As, he said, "Abu Abdullah deserves no position besides leadership." He said, "No other position suits this man." But even then, Umar never ever spared him. SubhanAllah, Umar was just an amazing individual. Wallahi, inshallah, we'll see this when we study the life of Umar ibn Khattab. Umar radiallahu anhu, on two separate occasions, called him all the way to Medina to rebuke him. On two separate occasions, the governor of Egypt, on two separate occasions, he called him. Then, so in the time of Umar, he was the governor of the entirety of Egypt. In the beginning of the time of Uthman, he was the governor of Egypt. Then he had him removed. Then in the time of Muawiyah, radiallahu anhu, he was also the governor of Egypt. He was actually the spokesman. You know, when Muawiyah and Ali radiallahu anhu had their difference, he was the spokesman on many occasions for Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. He passed away. He was about 90 years old. He would say, I remember the day that Umar was born. Say, I remember the day that Umar ibn Khattab was born. He was very old when he passed away, radiallahu anhu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate the status of those who preserved the deen. These were the people who preserved the deen. If it wasn't for these people, if it wasn't for the fiqr of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. These are people like Firouz Daylimi. How much the Ummah is indebted to these people? How much the people of Yemen are indebted to? We don't know their names. We've never heard of Qais ibn Hubayra. We never heard of other many prominent Sahaba radwanullah ajma'in. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate their status. May Allah preserve this deen. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Jazakumullah khairan for watching. And please do not forget to watch the next episode. And inshallah, with your du'as, there will be plenty more history series coming very soon. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.